big things. Are they still favorites in your minds without Christian McCaffrey? 888-957-9570. I see a lot of Pivot Don't Panic posts on YouTube. Pivot Don't Panic. You got J.P. Mason. Get Guerrero some touches. Patrick Taylor Jr., get him some touches. It's a big blow. But can they overcome this blow? I think they can. Let's go to Philmo Mike. Philmo Mike in the city. What up, Philmo? Oh, we're getting Philmo on the other side. My bad. We'll break. 712, Philmo, hang tight. We'll get you your calls. 888-957-9570.
By the way,
where's Yogi?
Who's Yogi?
Yogi's a caller who called last week as a New York Jet fan. And he came at me and said, Bonte, I got a bet for you. Bet me on this game. So we bet. I really don't want anything from him. I just want him to call. I want him to call because he was talking that talk. Don't disappear. Call us. Yogi.
The boy doesn't know the zone as well as you do, Bonte.
Nah, you got that right, Tony. All right, more coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Shanahan ran the ball a lot Monday. 37 carries in all, 28 for Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason with a career high yards, first ever start. He'll do the same against Minnesota. Very tricky game. Can't wait to talk to Baldy at 8 o'clock today. Fleming will be tomorrow at 8:30. Fleming tomorrow, 8:30. Baldy today, 8 o'clock on the River Islands guest line.
Shut up.
Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? No, Flint, we're not going to shut up. We have to talk. No. We have to talk a lot.
Clean it up, Ante.
No, I'll try to. Download the Odyssey app. 95.7 The Game and thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, podcasts are all available. Follow your favorite teams, stations, and radio shows. And catch amazing interviews you missed too, like Dr. Feely yesterday with Willard and Dibbs.
I know we're going to go out to the Lions. You know, is the risk worth the reward of trying to suit up CMC over the next couple of weeks? I mean, there's no guarantee that he gets healthier or stays healthy or any of those things. You know, where are you at, Niner fans? But before you go out to the lines, Sam tried my pasta that we were talking about earlier with a little bit of the sausage. Sam, was it good or was it bad?
No, it was very good. You gave me a little piece of the sausage. It was like, all right, yeah, you cooked this well. You seasoned it well. You get a gold star.
Was it good because you skipped breakfast this morning?
No, I never skip breakfast.
You never do. This guy crushes
the most important meal of the day, Bonte. How am I going to skip it?
Crushes oatmeal. I can tell.
Crushes. He eats it with a shovel.
Yeah.
It's hard healthy for you. Your boy's got to watch the cholesterol.
That's true. It's very true. It's a good point. It's a very good point. That's why I'm going to make it an admission today. Speaking of health, I'm making an admission. So Anna took me to this restaurant. It's like Michelin star restaurant, New York City. She's like, we gotta go.
Okay.
It's like, all right. I forget the name of it. You know, me and Ames, right?
Clearly a really good place.
Yeah, no, it was in Manhattan. It was like Michelin star. They were like, they're like French Laundry gets compared to it, right? Anyway, it was a plant-based restaurant. No meat. And it was really, really good. They had like this tomato tart. Uh-huh. It was unbelievable, like based on a tomato. I mean, everything plant-based, it was fresh and everything. I was like, wow, I'm actually full. So after my birthday, I said, hey, Anna, I want to try the vegan diet. I'm going to try it because she's been trying to get me to go vegan, skip meat out. It sounds miserable. I'm going to do it. You know why? Because I got inspired by a mailman. I walked by this guy last week. He was in Bulgaria for like a month with his kids and everything. And I read it to him. I was like, what's up, man? It's like, you look like a completely different guy. Lost 45 pounds. Mm. Not eating meat.
I'm sure there was more to it.
Hey, he was working and doing his 10,000 steps and all that stuff too. And exercise.
Give me the meat.
I'm doing all that. But when I eat, I go hard, man. I go hard to paint. I'm going to try to do a vegan diet. I'm trying to do it.
So when does the vegan diet start?
After my birthday.
Okay. So do we do over under how many days this lasts?
Well, you guys doubted me on the soda diet really, really well.
Who doubted you on the soda diet?
SOTAweightLoss.com.
The streets are talking. Now, your boy had a couple cheat days. You look around, Well, you get out the car, you look around, it's like, hopefully nobody sees you going to Round Table Pizza.
I remember that Sunday you had at the Hilton last year.
What you talking about? That wasn't a Sunday. That was a Wednesday or Tuesday.
Are you serious?
4 for that one. That was good.
It was.
Rome wasn't built in the day, Bonte.
It wasn't built in the day.
What I've learned about all these diets, not that I'm some diet expert, you have to have the combination of working out and conditioning and all that stuff. And I believe in weightlifting now. Yep. I never did before, but that's a part of it. Obviously, there's some levels of cardio, et cetera. But even if you go fully vegan, you could still find stuff that's fully vegan that's loaded in sugars.
Oh, yes.
No, you know what I mean? So you just got to pick and choose. It's not about specifically one diet or the other. It's about what you're putting in your body.
I've cut out sugar for over a year. Sugar's been cut out. Alcohol, really, don't really drink at all. Maybe have a pop here or there, blah, 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 blah. But no, I want to try it. I want to try it. Because I want to cleanse my body. Because I'm like, I've been crushing steaks, crushing fried chickens. It's been nonstop. And basketball season is right around the corner. Your boy, you know, want to fit into these suits here. Speaking of which.
It ain't nothing you can do about
it. I want to fit into a jersey. Hopefully that I get. But I don't know if I'm going to get it. Because this guy, Yogi. If you guys don't know who Yogi is, Yogi called last week and was talking that talk. Here goes Yogi last week. This is what we get on the Morning Roast. Here is Yogi. Just listen to this, folks. I know the streets. I know who's who. I do my research. I do my scouting. Come on, man. What you got? What you got for me, Yogi?
Week one, let me know if you're down to bet, Bonte. Jets beats the Niners. Niners don't score over 20, kind of almost like your Super Bowl. And then if we win, me and you get to go to the Warriors game, baby, opening night.
Wait, you want me to buy you tickets for opening night?
Yeah, I mean, if Niners win, I'll buy you tickets.
Hey, Yogi, I'm working. I do the pre- and post-game show. Your boy don't buy tickets to the Warriors games no more.
Hold on. If the Jets beat the Niners, you're skipping the post-game show, first of all. We're going to go find Brock Purdy because he probably threw three interceptions instead of doing anything.
No, I got a
productive.
Better bet. I got a better bet for you.
All right,
I got a better bet.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Put your money. Since you want to talk big money here, Yogi. You want to talk for big stakes.
Yogi,
I'm ready to put some big stakes right now,
I'm
Yogi.
I'm feeling how you're pressing him. He's sweating.
No. Wait till
you look like Nick Mullins in the pocket.
I'll do this one, Yogi. If the Jets win, I'll get you a Joe Namath jersey.
Whoa.
If the Niners win, I get a jersey of my choice.
It's going to be a Trey Lance jersey.
Hey.
That's pretty good. That was a pretty good comeback.
That was Yogi. Well, he hasn't come back yet. We're waiting on the comeback. Purdy didn't throw three interceptions. The Niners scored over 20. Hell, they scored over 30. Somebody
How can
said,
they overcome this CMC thing?
Somebody on 408 says, Yogi has a concept of a bet. If anybody was
about to see. He has the concept of a plan for a bet. Yes.
What he has. Concept of a plan.
Well, somebody
the memes are out of control with that last
night.
Well,
yeah, somebody said concept of a plan, and it was a picture of Doc Rivers.
The amount of memes I saw with Springfield, like the Simpsons with the dog and the cat. They're eating pets?
It was the John Fisher memes were out of control, too. The concept of a plans for a stadium in Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Let's not get canceled. Let's go
We've
to Philbo Mike.
We've got to get through this election.
Let's get through Philbo.
Without getting canceled.
Let's go to Philbo Mike.
Cats.
Let's go to Philbo Mike. We're almost made it, man. November will be here before you know it. Philbo Mike, what's up, baby?
What's up, buddy?
What's popping? Just a side note, I love how Sasky, he does his voice. He says, all right. I love when he do that. I don't know why. I just get a kick out of that. You don't do it. Like, you be explaining stuff, and then you just say it naturally. Like, you be like, all right. You do something weird like that. And then, shout out to Jerry Rice. And I know y'all got too much respect and love for your OGs. Because he was saying Jordan Madison. I was like, okay, it's Jordan Madison. If Jerry Rice called him Jordan Madison, his name Jordan Madison.
Hey, Philbo, I'm not going to sit here and try to stop the GOAT and try to correct him. I'm going to let the GOAT cook. I'm sitting back, dude. Exactly. I don't want that smoke.
I was just saying, like, I already know. Y'all would have did that for, like, an elderly person in the hood, let alone Jerry Rice. Just let him cook, bro. Jordan Madison, okay.
Show.
That's all up.
He's Jordan
anyway,
Madison.
Though, right, he's Jordan Madison. He went for 147. But, Shasky, I wanted to highlight you about this play I seen, and it was probably they were inside the red zone. Deebo was in like he was on the line, but he went in motion, mm-hmm. and then Sims acted like he was gonna hand him the ball, and then Mason came around like the front side and took the ball. Like they act like they was gonna give it to what's the name, and they pitched it to Mason. Mm. I want to know if you see that play.
I did, and they've run variations of that play over and over again, and that's how they get a lot of walk-in touchdowns.
Right. I never really tripped on that play. But anyway, all I wanted to say was with CMC's injury, I kind of agree with Bonte. He's like out of sight, out of mind. He's an awesome player. I love CMC. Yeah. I didn't even realize how good CMC was before he liked Kevin Durant. I didn't realize how good he was until he got on my team. So with that being said, I kind of want to like sit him down for a second with our defense. Now, it's only week one. But if our defense can play the way that I see and envision them playing going into the future, I can see us not as much as of a explosive offense the last 2 years, but more of like a timely offense pre-CMC with the way our defense is playing. And if our defense can keep playing like that, then I feel like, you know what, we might want to sit CMC on a hype of this. We may get like he's almost like a trade addition. Like it's like you picked him up on the deadline. And then if he get hurt early, we could maybe get him back. It's a long season, so I'm kind of like, you know what I mean? Like we could possibly get him back. I don't know if it's Achilles. I don't want to rupture. We don't want to put that out there. But I'm just saying, if he get hurt, we could possibly get him back.
That's a good point, Philmo. That's a good point, and I like that mindset. If he comes back, it's like a trade. It's a bonus, and it's a hell of a bonus to have for Christian McCaffrey. But is anybody – am I alone here when it comes to my mindset saying that, you know what, if McCaffrey contributes anything to the 2024 49ers, then it's a bonus? Because this injury is serious, man.
Anything? He only plays it – let's play this out. A couple of games. Let's say 4 games this year.
Yeah.
If it's regular season, 4 games, yeah, it's a humongous disappointment. Like, there's no way around this.
If he doesn't play, don't get me wrong, it is massive. You just gave him a 2-year, $38 million contract extension. And before Ayuk, before Trent, as Ayuk is wandering through the desert looking for his money and everybody's looking for cut money, McCaffrey got re-upped. So, yes, it would be not seeing him Monday Night Football. Yeah, it hurt. This is CMC. All right, this is Christian McCaffrey, for crying out loud. So if he doesn't play, yes, it's a massive disappointment. But my expectations now for him, knowing what this injury is, I don't have high expectations for McCaffrey for this year. So yes, it is disappointing on one end if he doesn't play, but also my expectations for him now, I'm not going to expect much from him with this injury.
So I agree with where you're going with this, but if he can't go for the playoffs, your opportunity to win a Super Bowl diminishes big time. I mean, you had him last year. You're going up against one of the great, like, if you make it to the Super Bowl, okay? If you make it to the Super Bowl, you're going up against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Whether he's 1, 2, or 3, he's on everybody's top 3 list already. Yeah. He's like in the LeBron category almost immediately at this point in his career, right? Let's look at the NFC. Well, you needed CMC to get through Green Bay. Now, it's a different Green Bay team. Let's see where they're at the end of the year. You absolutely needed CMC to get through Detroit, and they've got not one but 2 running backs that look like they're in their prime and ready to go. Now, can injuries happen to them, and it's a long season? Absolutely. We watched the receiver, Doc. Amon Ross St. Brown wasn't right all year. Yeah. But I know that guys on my team, like Kittle and Deebo, have a history of going down in the middle of the year. And I know at the end of last year, with a full squad essentially, Kittle and Deebo were both compromised in that Super Bowl game, physically.
Well, Deebo got knocked out of the Green Bay game.
So, like, the only way this is a silver lining for the Niners, like, for me, like, this is a devastating injury, and they can overcome it. I'm not saying they can't. Yeah. But the only way there's a silver lining is if he is right, and ready to go 100% for the playoffs for a long push. Now, who can guarantee that? Nobody can. Nobody can. But be like, you are not a better team, and no one agrees. Like, nobody's disagreeing with me. You're not a better team without Christian McCaffrey. They just have to have him for the playoffs. They have to.
They have to. It feels like it. But I'm not counting on it no more. I have to move on without him right now. He's not available. This injury is, I mean, let's hear from Shanahan. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan on the update of CMC's calf.
Well, yes, I believe they're similar. I know it was a calf then, and it's a calf now. You guys could ask Christian more on that. Definitely, I believe if it was a playoff game, he would have played. You know, but when it's not just the calf, it's the Achilles, and, you know, the Achilles is tendonitis, and that stuff comes and goes. And when it is acting up, something you got to be very careful about. Christian's very diligent about that stuff, and if it was a playoff game, you know, he made it very clear to me he believed he could go. But when you hear that type of stuff and it's not a playoff game and it's week one, and especially when you're dealing with the lower extremities like that, it was a tough decision. But hearing all the words and stuff, in the long run, it made it easy.
In the long run. So they're going to treat this with kid gloves. And I don't anticipate him playing on turf in Minnesota this Sunday. I'm going to expect him to play against the Rams 2 weeks from now at SoFi Stadium on their turf. We may not see him until they play the Patriots. Hell, we may not see him until after week 8. I have no idea when he's coming back because, as Shanahan said, this stuff just pops up. And it flares up out of nowhere. One day you're feeling great. The next day you're like, what the hell is this? Why is my Achilles throbbing? So, again, I want to know how everybody feels out there. 888-957-9570. Would you be shocked if McCaffrey missed half the season? Would you be shocked if Christian McCaffrey didn't play at all?
Can they survive not playing at all?
Yeah, can they survive? Are they still the Super Bowl favorite? Are they still the favorite to come out the NFC? Can they stack up with Detroit and Philadelphia without Christian McCaffrey? I still think they could play with those guys.
If they had Jimmy at quarterback, I would be much more petrified.
Yeah.
But it's
Brock, right?
Brock's been good. This speaks to how much I have faith in Brock. The fact I'm not as panicked as I thought I would be with the CMC injury, he's awesome. Christian's one of the best players we've all ever seen in terms of talent. He's unreal. They can overcome it for the regular season. I go back to the playoffs. The margins are so thin in beating these teams, even in your own conference. You need every rock, every tote, every yard, every inch, every schematic advantage where he's a decoy. They need him in the playoffs. Regular season, I think they could still win 11 or 12 games. Yeah. I do. I absolutely do. Now the question becomes, okay, Jordan Mason, in college you didn't have a heavy workload. Can you survive the workload of a regular season? Because you have a bruising style of play.
He mentioned that after the game. He goes, I don't know how Chris McCaffrey does this every game. 28 touches, my gosh. And you, to your point about being a bruising style, yeah, that's a problem. So now I look at the depth chart here and I see the backups for Jordan Mason. And Jordan Mason, as he started at running back, Patrick Taylor Jr. and Isaac Grindo are your backups. Right now, on the practice squad, Keyshawn Vaughn. You only got one running back on a practice squad. It's Keyshawn Vaughn. And he's had a cup of coffee in this league. So, I don't know what you do here. Patrick Taylor Jr. in his fifth year out of Memphis. He's a 6'2 running back, 217. Haven't seen much of him. I can't even give you a scouting report on him. Haven't seen him at all. We know Isaac Grindo is fast as hell. 6 foot, 221, can shoot through the gaps. He is quick. But can he stay healthy? First day of camp, he pops his hamstring. He's out for a couple weeks. Comes back to camp. He's got a groin injury. So we don't even know if he can stay on the football field. Does the philosophy change, Jasky? Do you start to shift to more of a passing offense where it's like, hey, we're going to move off this 30 carry a game? I know Shanahan wants the 30 carries no matter what. But if you don't have effective running backs, they're not getting you the yards that McCaffrey or Mason can get you. I don't know. Do you put more on Brock's plate to throw the ball?
Well, you do have a $30 million wide receiver on one side and a $26 million, I'd just say, football player in Deebo Samuel on the other side with an $18 million tight end. So, you know, you could say you put it on Brock's plate where, like, can't these other guys, you know, lift up the rest of the roster, as Shanahan has proven through a decade of being an OC and a head coach, more so now, 15 years, that he could figure out the run game. I mean, I think a lot of people didn't know who Breida was. Tevin Coleman, they saw him a little in Atlanta. You know, he was excellent. Jeff Wilson Jr. at one time. Remember, there were people mad that they traded Jeff Wilson Jr. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Angry.
I mean,
imagine that.
Like, I know they draft a running back every year. It feels like they go through running backs left and right. I feel like they could figure out the running back situation. Right. But I go back to the playmakers making significant money, and I go to the offensive line. Like, I need the offensive line to step their game up, and I need the other playmakers on this team to step their game up and to offset that production in the pass game.
Well, maybe that's why I feel better about this team enduring the loss of Christian McCaffrey. It's because, one, I believe Brock Purdy's better. You were talking about the playmakers earlier. I do believe the playmakers are going to make plays. But Brock Purdy's better. And I think the offensive line is better.
Yeah.
I think Brindle's better than he was a season ago. McKivitt's had some hairy moments early, but you know what? They ran behind him and Pooty. You know what I'm saying? McKivitt's, we know he's probably the weak link of the offensive line. But really, we didn't talk much about McKivitt until the Super Bowl when things were blowing up. McKivitt's had a solid season. Forget the PFF grades or whatnot. I don't care. Purdy was able to throw for over 4,000 yards.
Do not forget the PFF grades, because did you see who the number one ranked PFF quarterback was this week?
Who?
Brock Purdy.
Was he? PFF? Not CJ Stroud?
It was Brock Purdy.
What did they grade stuff off of again?
Well, they're just, you know, good and bad plays, I'm assuming. They're each individual one, they're grading it, and then they're adding it up, I'm assuming.
You got to Google it.
Yeah. See, I decided I had to go all in on PFF in terms of, if I'm going to rip them for some things, I got to rip them all the way. I can't use it to my advantage. Trust me, sometimes I'm like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so was the number one graded pass blocker according to PFF. I was like, I can't be that guy. I can't use them when I want to. I utilize it when I need to.
It's a buffet card.
But to your point about Brock Purdy, it does put more on his plate, and I think he's ready for that. And I think the offensive line is in a better spot. Offensively, to your point, they are in a better spot than when they had Jimmy. Because when they had Jimmy, we didn't know if Ayuk was an all-pro yet. We didn't know where Deebo Samuel was at. We didn't know how Christian McCaffrey would play this offense. So, Achilles, tendonitis. How long could he be out? Is it a big concern? Baldy touched on it from day one. Last year, this year, he's been all over it. When you give a guy 400 touches, that next year could be tricky. And the Niners not only gave, you know, him over 400 touches, which I'm all bored with. You got to do what you got to do to win the Super Bowl. But now you don't win the Super Bowl, and you give him a contract extension, 2 years, $38 million, and now we're dealing with an Achilles tendonitis on top of a calf strain. Huh?
Okay, I know that you were okay with the 400 carries, and I don't want to argue, you know, but knowing what we know now, do you change your philosophy moving forward? You're not going to retcon what happened last year, but just as, like, because I get it. Like, I do understand your point of, like, dude, he's the best player on the planet. You got to win games. Well, these games are hard to win. Well, you look over, and it's like, no one knew who Jordan Mason was. You know, I get why you build that workload up. But knowing what you know now.
There's just this big drop-off, too.
I know. Huge.
Pass game, run game. McCaffrey was everything. He made everything go. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's running for 70-yard touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? This is LT territory. This is Marshall Faulk territory. We're talking about the greats of the greats. So I wouldn't change a thing from last year. But maybe Christian McCaffrey, because he's a workout. That's what they always talk about. Christian McCaffrey just works out his ass off. Maybe that should have maybe been tapered back after a big year.
That's tough to do. That's what makes him him.
I know.
I mean, you and I have walked alongside of him on a field. The guy is chiseled.
There's no
the
body
fat.
The
only guy on the team whose body comes close to his is Fred Warner and Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
That's it.
Not even close.
This dude's calves and his legs are humongous. He looks like a track athlete.
But watching Detroit, the way they utilize their backs, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, I do think that's a template for Kyle Shanahan. Now, I know the Shanahans love to run. They love to ride one back the whole way. A back gets hot, and they're going to ride them all day long. That's the Shanahan way. But I do like the way Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell utilize their running backs in Detroit with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. And that's why David Montgomery had that overtime where he looked like the freshest dude on the field. On top of Jahmyr Gibbs. So you got that burst. You got freshness at all stops. So maybe moving forward, we do see a little more thunder and lightning. We do see McCaffrey ease up off the touches, especially with this injury. If you're not going to do it now with the injury, then what the hell are you?
Well, what I worry about is, like, yeah, if you're not going to ease off of him and allow him to get right, then you're looking at a Todd Gurley situation. That's what I worry. I fear that you're going through that. Like, Todd Gurley 2,000 yards from scrimmage 2017, almost 2,000 yards from scrimmage in 2018, and then just fell off a map. Went down, literally just production cut in half. And
obviously
he had the knee.
Right.
And he was done. And literally out of the league 2 years later.
I mean, unbelievable. Didn't even play the Super Bowl, really.
He was out of the league by 27 years old. And I would have put money on it. Like, Todd Gurley, one of the best. Like, he was, that year he had, 2017, 2018, I would put that year up with anyone's. He was a monster. Destroyed the Niners.
Remember he came to Levi's?
He was unbelievable.
And they smoked him like, what was it, like 39 to 10 or something, all yellows?
He looked like a Greek god.
He was unbelievable.
He was going to be a Hall of Famer. He's three-time All, like, he might be a borderline one, actually. He's three-time All-Pro, Offensive Player of the Year, three-time Pro Bowler, rushing leader twice. Like, just his college career is insane, too. And they had 67 touchdowns. Like, all of that within that short period. He was going to be a Hall of Famer.
And he shredded the knee. And it's different, obviously, but he shredded the knee, and he was never the same.
I mean, they were giving C.J. Anderson carries in the postseason. Everybody's thinking, what the hell's going on with Todd Gurley? He was done.
But
that's what was going on.
The Rams evolved, and they kind of, like, I didn't think they could sustain.
Yeah.
And they evolved, and they kept moving on, and it's a credit to McVay. It's a credit to that team. And you bring up the other guy who took over. He's from Fairfield, I believe.
Who's that?
Or Vallejo, C.J. Anderson.
Oh, C.J. Anderson. Yeah,
he's a Cal kid. And they end up getting to the Super Bowl that year, right? So things can happen. Other people could step up. But I think we would all agree they were more dynamic with Todd Gurley when he was fully healthy. It's the same thing with the Niners.
So your earlier point, as we started the show, you were talking about replenishing talent and how Lynch and Shanahan do a great job of replenishing talent. Now, they have had the chance to replenish a lot of premium talent. They've done it. They've had some bumps in the road when it comes to in-season injuries. It's tough to overcome that. But for the most part, they have replenished talent, right? So this is going to be another test of that theory. Can they replenish the production of a Christian McCaffrey? That was my whole thing with Brandon Ayuk. Who's going to replace the production of Brandon Ayuk? Well, now we got a CMC answer a question. Who's going to replace that production? We're talking over 20 touchdowns.
I think he had 65, 67 catches. I'm pulling it up right now.
Maybe in the 50s?
He was dynamic.
Leading rusher?
67 catches, almost 600 yards as a receiver, 1,500 yards as a runner. I mean, you're looking at
over 2,000 scrimmage yards.
2,000 scrimmage yards.
All-purpose yards. It's a lot of production. Let's go to Chewy in San Jose. Chewy, what's happening?
What's happening, gentlemen? Nice to hear from you guys on a Wednesday, even though I listen to you guys every day and I'm a first-time caller. Just wanted to just touch up on what you guys are talking about. You know, giving McCaffrey some time off to, you know, make sure that calf good is going to be important for, November and December games. There's no replacing his production because, you know, although Jordan Mason did a really, really good job running for us, I've seen some of those holes where the elite speed and gifts that McCaffrey has probably would have took those to the house, right? There was a lot of them like that. So I'm not really concerned about that, but where I am really concerned, because one thing about the Niners on offense and defense, they love to hit. Even your wide receivers love to hit, right? And it showed up in the game because a lot of the defenders on Jets were getting frustrated, hurt, sitting on the sideline like, damn, what do we do? So I'm really concerned about our linebackers because, they really stepped up. You know how Warner sets the tone. Nonetheless, should we accrue another injury there? That's where my concern really is with the team because, hitting them wide receivers. I watched the Philly game, man, and I don't know how Devontae Smith breaks four tackles from cornerbacks, but I can tell you this, that ain't happening with the Niners. You're going to get hit when you catch the ball, and it wears on you in the game.
I like your passing, Chewy. Good call. Not bad for a first-timer. Not bad at all. Devondre Campbell, we've both been talking about this. Dean Winters will be back soon. And I think Dean Winters is going to cut into that timeshare. And then we'll see what's happening with your boy Bethune for Florida State. We'll see if he gets some run. But Devondre Campbell's dropping back his zone defense. That was free money for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's going to get picked on.
Sam Darnold, is he looking at the field right now?
seeing ghosts.
I don't know if he's seeing ghosts.
Who's guarding Justin Jefferson this week? It's got to be D'Amino, right?
Well, he did that practice. He did that practice, the scrimmage a couple years ago, where he said, D'Amino Lenore said it. He goes, I was in Shanahan's doghouse. And he goes, next thing you know, I look over and Shanahan's watching the one-on-one drills with the DBs, and he's right behind me. He goes, he told Avery Thomas, and how dare Avery Thomas do this, but he was like, Avery, I need all the reps against Justin Jefferson. Avery's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Just double him. I mean, Addison's probably going to be out this week. Yes. He has an ankle injury. So who are you really worried about? Shut down Aaron Jones, double team Justin Jefferson. They don't have TJ Hawkinson. He's out. He's minimum four games. Brandon Powell, Josh Oliver, like, come on.
You know that scrimmage, though.
So you're coming around on me.
That scrimmage, though.
I didn't say 20 points, but yeah
that scrimmage,
though.
That scrimmage, he defended Justin Jefferson one-on-one, made some plays, and he said he looked back and Shanahan was smiling with a football in his arms. And that was the day he got out the doghouse, was those scrimmages against Minnesota a couple years ago in Minnesota. Now, to your point about all their weapons, do you double Justin Jefferson? Sure, but that's not really the Niner style at times. He is a problem. He is a problem. It's going to be fun playing against him.
What'd you make of Deebo Samuel back there as a kick returner?
I don't love it.
Why?
It's too important, man. You can't find another special teamer. Can Isaac Garrido return a kick?
I mean,
can Jacob Cowie return a kick? I don't want Deebo back there on kick return to punt return.
I actually like Cowing as a punt returner. Just catch the ball.
Yeah, catch the ball. But I don't want Deebo returning kickoffs and taking that contact.
I felt like week one was let's establish that Deebo can be a between the tackles runner, because we know CMC is going to be out for a little bit here at the beginning of the year. And if we want to open up the passing game with him out of the backfield, you have to establish that he's willing to run it between the tackles. And I thought that's what they were trying to do. I mean, we know Shanahan is diabolical like that. Yeah. He will think weeks in advance to set something up.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I get worried about Deebo on kickoff returns. Even playing running back, he's going to take some contact here, but you got to do what you got to do. It's a matchup nightmare. And I think now, though, Shasky, with playing Deebo in the backfield, having him in the backfield, I feel like Shanahan has a lot more trust in his wide receiver room now. And their wide receiver room looks as good as maybe it ever has under Kyle Shanahan.
You got different body types. Chris Conley's a big guy.
Yep.
You got a tiny little guy in Cowing, who's a speedster. You got Deebo, who's a wide back.
But if you're playing Deebo in the backfield, if you have him at running back, mm-hmm. right, you're playing him out there in the single back.
Yeah.
Well, I feel good now if I have Jennings, Ayuk, Cowing, Conley, and hopefully soon Ricky Pearsall alongside George Kittle.
But there's a diversity of body types where I felt like before there was, and you didn't have, like, Ayuk's a clear separator. Cowings is a burner. I feel like Ronnie Bell feels like the guy who's probably going to get left out when Ricky Pearsall comes back.
Right.
I think they need another separator, and I think that's where Ricky Pearsall comes in.
They love Ronnie Bell's blocking, though. I know Stiney's cringing somewhere. They love his blocking in a run game. He gets after.
Well, his hands aren't great. He dropped a bunch of balls in the preseason, off the helmet.
Which is why they don't run routes with him. Which is why he's in the game as a run blocker. Now, some teams are going to look at film and be like, hey, when he's in the game, they're running the ball. So you're going to have to throw it at some point. And Ronnie Bell's going to have to be ready for his moment. I got faith in Ronnie Bell. I got faith in him. He's a Michigan guy. He'll be all right. Right? He'll be all right.
Yeah, you sound like you have faith.
I mean, I'm just letting him just drown in skepticism.
I have faith in Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy. Yeah, see, you guys do that to me. So who knows? Like, according to you guys, I don't have faith in anybody.
Well, that's according to you.
No, I have faith in that. Trust me, I've had faith.
I want you to listen to this sound, and you tell me if this sounds like a confident individual.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy. No, it sounds like an irritated individual. When people are telling me that I don't have faith in Brock Purdy, I'm like, I'm happy with Brock Purdy. I am happy with Brock Purdy.
I ask you, who's the PFF number one graded quarterback? You immediately went to C.J. Stroud.
No, I just thought it'd be C.J. Stroud because of the way he threw.
Like, what about our quarterback?
Our quarterback played very well. I don't think he plays better than C.J. Stroud this week.
I get what Bonte's saying, though. Because you watch the performances throughout, and I'd say probably C.J. had the best performance out of anyone.
He threw a couple interceptable balls.
He did, but they weren't intercepted.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy didn't throw any touchdowns. So, there's the give and take there, right?
There is the give and take there. And you know what? Lamar and Patrick Mahomes put on a show. They weren't at their best, but they put on a show. But Brock Purdy, he's the guy. He's the guy why I'm not... He's here, which is why I'm not sweating over the McCaffrey injury that much.
No, I go back to the Jimmy like theory. If this same thing happened with Jimmy at quarterback, I would be petrified. Right. I would, but with Brock, I have a good sense of confidence right now, which I'm kind of surprising myself here. I thought I'd be panicky more.
By the way, I'm taking Buffalo tomorrow. Raheem Mostert's out tomorrow against Buffalo, and who's a Devon Achead? He's a game time decision.
What's the game tomorrow?
Miami Dolphins, Buffalo Bills.
Ooh,
you didn't know that.
Just for those that don't know where Raheem Mostert plays. Yeah.
They got to know where Raheem Mostert plays. Our audience is educated. They know what time it is. Raheem, in case you've been living under a rock for the last 2 years,
Silver Raheem Surfer
plays with the Miami Dolphins. He's been there for the last couple years. He's had some really good years in Miami under Mike McDaniel. He's not going to play tomorrow against Buffalo, Josh Allen. And David Achane is a game-time decision. So it's going to be a lot of Tua. A lot of Tua passing the ball. I got to find a quarterback.
If you're on fantasy and you have a Mostert or an Achane, I'd go out, get Bucky Irving, the rookie out of Tampa Bay. I'd go grab him.
He like that. See, also, Spadoni knows what I'm talking about.
I will
about.
Give you a Raider that I think actually is going to get, if you're in a PPR league, because I don't think Zamir White is as good in the passing game, is Alexander Mattison. He got a decent amount of points last week. He'll get some passes. I think it's going to be a blowout for that, but he might get a garbage time touchdown. So,
I need a quarterback. Should I take Gardner?
Stafford's available in a lot of leagues right now. Don't sleep on Baker either. Like he'll get some production. Swooped. Him and Mike Evans. Oh, well, you're in a deep league. Sorry.
So in my league.
Gardner Minshew's probably out there.
Here's a quarterback. Should I take Gardner? I have Daniel Jones is available against Washington. Malik Willis is available. Bryce Young is available. Deshaun Watson is available. Will Levis is available. Jacoby Brissett's available.
Deshaun Watson will not be available in about 9 weeks. Just mark my words there.
Gardner Minshew. Bo Nix. Yeah, this league stinks. That's not good. That's not good at all.
Nothing easy!
Jalen Wright. Oh, man, did I just cut Jalen Wright in the league? I had him. He's going to play a lot tomorrow.
And thus concludes Bonte's fantasy minute.
So anyway, all our fantasy minutes.
Stop! Stop it!
Baldy coming up. Cannot wait. Cannot wait to break down week one of the NFL season with Brian Baldinger. He's going to join us at the top of the hour.
Crack, crack, crack.
Here on the Morning Roast. But first, let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Christian McCaffrey, he's not the only Niner dealing with injuries. Kyle Shanahan announced yesterday that guard Aaron Banks is day-to-day with a calf contusion. Also day-to-day is wide receiver Juwan Jennings. After he tweaked his ankle Monday night against the Jets. We'll learn more about their playing statuses for Sunday and the next day or so. But right now, Chris McCaffrey's doubtful. I would not count on him. Juwan Jennings, he actually left the game with an ankle injury. He did end up coming back into that game against the New York Jets. So.
It should have been a flag. He got hip tackled.
Yeah.
And it's clearly being, you know, overlooked. That is a rule change. You're not allowed to do that. That was exactly like Jimmy Ward when he broke Pollard's ankle or whatever. Juwan Jennings is lucky it's not worse. That was a classic, should have been a flag considering the new rules, right along the sideline, right in front of the official, and nothing. We could have lost Jennings for weeks.
The officials are still in preseason mode as well.
Yeah, they're terrible.
It's a report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Speaking of Boxer and Gerson, Hillary, when she called us, and shout out to Hillary, who's going to have a little baby soon. I found out that Hillary is really good friends with one of my daughter's Montessori school teachers.
No.
I'm not going to give out the full government. It is a small world. I picked up Chester that day.
It's a small world.
I picked up Chester that day, and the teacher's like, oh, my gosh. Hillary was so funny today. Because she's a listener. You know, she's always listening. I think she likes me more than me.
I'm a likable guy.
But she goes,
B, I can't argue with you.
You can't, really. I should have been a lawyer. she goes,
I try not to like you.
She goes, She's in the same league. She's in the same fantasy league that Hillary was talking about. So, yeah, Hillary that calls the show is like that in real life. just like that in real life. So.
And you want someone like her defending you. That's absolutely who I would want defending me. Shout out Boxer and Gerson.
Yeah, right? Shout out Boxer.
Best lawyer depicted in a movie. You can't take My Cousin Vinny because he was not a good lawyer.
Oh, man, I was going to take My Cousin Vinny. I was going to take him. That's exactly what I was going to take.
The two lawyers? Yeah. What was that word you used? Utes? No, youth. Youth.
When he wears the zoo, like, get up, it was just hilarious. But no, like, I'm the Carlito Way guy, I don't want him.
Yeah.
I don't want Sean Penn.
I want my boy from The Godfather, Tom.
Yeah, Tom is
that's
good.
A good one.
Tom Hagen.
Robert Duvall as well.
Yeah.
I'd probably go, I mean, you don't want to have to use this guy, and it's not a movie I'm going with.
The Devil's Advocate?
It's Saul Goodman.
It's Better Call Saul.
Come on. You know what? That's a good point.
That's not bad.
Better Call Saul has his clients back. He's like the Drew Rosenhaus of agents.
What about
no matter what, Drew Rosenhaus will have your back. How is he on the field with Jeff Darlington and Terry Hill's yelling, call Drew, and Drew Rosenhaus on the field with Jeff Darlington going, I'm befuddled. I'm shook up. Drew Rosenhaus, unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
What about, like, what if I nominated You Can't Handle the Truth? Even though he technically wasn't, I guess he wasn't a lawyer. He was more like a prosecutor.
Yeah, they're like the Navy, like the JAG thing.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, technically he's in law, right?
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Military law.
They're saying Tom Cruise in a few good
mid. Of all time, one of the funniest movies. I still think it holds to this day. Jim Carrey, Liar, Liar.
Oh, yeah, Liar, Liar. Yeah. Yep. He couldn't lie.
I've had better.
He couldn't lie.
Did you get beat up in the bathroom? Some deranged moron beat me up.
It's a madman, Your Honor.
Who's the lady?
Desperate man at the end of his pitiful road.
Who's the lady he was defending in that movie? What's her name?
Jennifer Tilly was the actress.
She's in
Jennifer
everything.
Jennifer Tilly. Yeah. Jennifer Tilly.
Bonnie on Family Guy, among other roles.
Don't what you say.
I was just trying to pick the name.
I was going to say Renee Zellweger, but that wasn't her.
She was clearly cheating on her husband on tape. And yeah.
It's just all bad.
All right, we're good to go.
Let's keep it moving here for Baldy coming up at the top of the hour. It's coming up again, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.